This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Thank you so much for being here again. Welcome back to Hannah Worldwide and Friends, the podcast where traveler, experts, and adventurer share their stories. If you want to learn about what it's like living in another country, you want to experience a new culture, or you just love to travel, this podcast is for you. Or maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone, and this podcast might be the inspiration you need. You can find me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi everyone, please welcome with me Ellen McElroy from Ireland. Ellen is an Irish comedian, and one day he got lost and found himself in New Zealand. At least that's what I want to believe. And the real story we will hopefully hear from him today. Welcome, Ellen. Thank you so much for making some time to be here.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here, although I'm in my own house, but it's great to be here in the internet world here.
Here. I can feel your presence.
Yeah. Because you're looking maybe, at me, because we're talking.
Exactly. So, perfect. That's all I need, your energy.
Good. There's just a bit left.
And what do you think, like, is Ireland really the New Zealand of Europe? Because a lot of people think that way because of the cheap and the green. Is that really how you see it too?
It is quite similar. There's lots of similarities, countries of storytelling and, the smaller country to the bigger neighbour, colonialism. So there's a lot of similarities and we have a lot of green land similar to here. There are sheep. I've seen sheep in both countries. And the west of Ireland is similar to the south of the South Island. And we're both really, really, really expensive countries to live in. Really expensive. So there's a lot of similarities. And there's, similar in culture with songs and music and all that sort of stuff. So it's very similar. It's just I couldn't be further away from Ireland unless I was living with penguins in the Antarctica. it's so far away, but yeah
I feel you on that. It's like sometimes you just get into a plane, think, oh, I might live somewhere else, and then you realize, oh, it's actually the furthest away I can get.
we went to Spain a few weeks ago, only for a week, so the jet lag finally wore off. It was a drunken, we video called my family on Christmas morning, their Christmas Eve, and we got drunk with them. And then we agreed to go to Spain, forgot we agreed. Then we had to buy the tickets. So we only went for a week. So the jet lag wore off. And then as we were flying back, and then the jet lag was there for about 2 weeks. And one of the flights is 17 hours. And that's insane, thinking about being in the air for 17 hours, just trying to get as much red wine into you to try and sleep. And it is. It's a flight I don't want to do too often.
I totally agree. I just came back from Germany as well, and I had the same 17-hour flight.
That one?
It's just a killer. Did you go over Doha as well?
Yeah, we went through Doha, and we had a 10-hour stopover in Doha. So they put us in a hotel. But then I think they called the prayer is at 3 o'clock in the morning. So we just kept waking up, and then, I couldn't really sleep. And then the last flight was just straight to Malaga. So that was fine. But I got to know, I figured out if I get to know and be friendly with the air staff, they will keep on giving wine, because the wine they gave was like a shot. I don't know why I'm looking around. A shot of wine. It's just a gulp. So I got to the stage where I was pointing at the bigger glass going, is there any chance I can have it in that big glass? And then they just kept filling me up, and that was great. Nice. And that got me through the flight. Otherwise, that and some weird game, I don't know if you played the game where you have to fling a ball and knock out all these things. I did that for seven hours. on one flight. Wow. It's like mental. Yeah, because I just got bored of the because we watch the same TV shows and the same movies. Like, it's four flights.
I know.
With the same stuff. So yeah, it was insane. So far away.
Yeah. Sometimes I wish someone would knock me out and I could just be knocked out for the whole flight, but no one ever did the favor yet.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to be punched, you know. I would like to be out cold, but I can't. And I have this, I don't know if I snore. I'd be afraid. I'd be just, because it's so weird. In the airport, you see someone sat on a chair and they make this fort around them that no one can sit near them. And they have all of the, or they're lying on the chair. But when you're on a plane, you're touching a stranger for 17 hours. Like, there's bits of you touching. And then sometimes they're like asleep and their mouth is open. And you're like, I could put my finger in your mouth. Like, this is, you're so vulnerable. So I'm afraid to fall asleep. And I have to sit on the aisle seats. I just have to. I get claustrophobic. So anytime I get comfortable and my elbow goes over, someone kicks it or walks into it. So it's very difficult to sleep, you know?
Yeah. I actually really feel you on all of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I just came back like 2.5 weeks ago. So I need to slowly get rid of that flight feeling of the 17 hours as well.
Yeah. And it affected me for nearly 2 weeks. I think the jet lag coming back, it was quite bad. Mm-hmm.
So, but for the people who actually want to know what happened, how did your life look like in Ireland before you came to New Zealand? And were you already a comedian there, or did it just start later on?
I was a comedian. I did a media degree, and part of the degree was interviewing comedians, and I was making them laugh, and I watched a fair amount of comedy. So then a girl in my class, Nikki, put my name down for an open mic. I did the open mic. I was terrified. I had a panic attack on stage, but the audience thought that was the act. And I ended up winning the audience award that night.
Oh,
so I went, oh, fuck. So I have to keep on doing this now, because it went well. And then I got a job in TV, and it was a live TV show every Friday, I think it was, called The Cafe. And I was this mad chef in the background shouting at famous people and just doing weird, silly things. And I did that for 2 years. And my partner at the time was a Norse. That's my accent. I know it sounds like a Norwegian Viking. She's a nurse. Works in a hospital. And the hospital, the hospital was closing down, and her family live in Hamilton. So the hospital she worked in was going to be gone. And the main host of the TV show I was on wanted to move into sports and get away from youth TV. So I had a feeling that the show may have ended. It may have been different. I probably would have stayed in TV. But then, so we decided to move to New Zealand. And I don't know how long I'm here, 15 years or something.
Right, that's quite a decent amount of time.
Yeah, it's really long. And to be honest, we're looking to move back in a couple of years, just to be back in Europe. But I've had a good time. It's, you know, it's nice.
Yeah. I can imagine that everyone who comes from Europe is kind of at one point feeling the pull back, just to be closer to the family on one hand, but also just how easy it is to get around.
Yeah, just and the thing is, like, different, you know, you can go to different countries in Europe. It's all pretty easy. You could travel through Europe, and it's great. Like, the summers here are great. Like, the country pretty much shuts down, and you can just do what you want. You know, no one really works. It's fun. Traveling around doing gigs is fun. I've been to most of the country several times. I've weird stories in nearly every town. Like, we were put up in a nudist colony in Nelson when we were there doing gigs, and didn't realize it was a nudist colony until I seen, because I got in late. It was nighttime, and I couldn't find my cabin. And I went down, I found a beach, and I saw what I thought was two, like, albino sea lions just rubbing off each other. And I got closer, and my eyesight is bad at nighttime. And it was just two older people frolicking in the sand. I was like, what is this? And then I seen the signs in the cabin, and I was like, oh, it's a fucking nudist colony. So yeah, I've seen some interesting things here.
Nice. Do you think it's because you get around, or because it's your job to see funny things and you're just paying a lot more attention to it?
Yeah, maybe. I think, but then I was diagnosed with ADHD last year or the year before. And I'm part of that is that I get distracted by things and I see something. And like if I'm walking, like I shared a couple of videos of if I look at a painting, it's a nice painting, but I see weird stuff in the painting. So mm-hmm. I've shared a couple of videos. I have to do one. There's a painting in the bathroom of the Alps or something. But one of them looks like a scary nun, and I can't unsee that every time I look at it. So yeah, I just think it's who I've always been. But yeah, as a comedian, you're trying to find humor and find, and this, you're not trying to, it happens. You just, sometimes it's, you know, gets you into trouble, but you know, I go on radio every now and again, and I go on the panel, and I have a good time on the panel. And sometimes they try and stop me from saying what I'm about to say, because they know, or they have a feeling like, no, this is a serious show. Like there was once the mayor of New Plymouth was on, and it was when all the crusty people were staying in tents down, you know, protesting like did in Wellington, which incidentally I was in Wellington while that was happening, doing a comedy festival, and one of the people thought I was one of them because I was really scruffy. I was like, I need to have a haircut and a shave. But I was doing the interview, and I was doing the radio thing, and it was, you know, I wasn't in the studio, and it was the mayor's birthday. So every time I couldn't really hear, but I just kept on saying happy birthday. And then I said something to him like, the best way to get rid of those tents is to get the wind wand and pull the wind wand down and tie the tents onto it and then let it go and they'll all go flying. And it was just a joke, but he took it really serious, and he said, I think that's really inappropriate, and I think it's a health and safety issue. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, relax. Like, and then there was people complaining. There was an expert or a farmer complaining about daylight savings. And I lost it. I couldn't stop laughing when he said it's upsetting the cows. And I understand what he means, because it puts them out of their routine slightly. But all I got was this image of a cow trying to change the time on its watch with a hoof, you know, and it couldn't do it. So, yeah. And then I see and hear things different.
Yeah. Which probably helps you with your shows as well quite a bit. So is that also how your jokes come about, or how is your creative process, and where do you get your inspiration from for new jokes?
I get it everywhere. I'm writing new stuff at the minute. I was in Melbourne, and everything was like, I'll go back. I was in Queenstown, and I had this video. I went to a bar to get food, and I had to cook my own steak. And it was one of them cook your own steak. And like, I'm not a qualified chef. But that was it, blah, blah, blah. And then I went to the show and I told that story on stage, and they laughed too much. And I said, what's going on? And the reason why I had to cook my own steak is because the chef was coming to the show that night and he was in the audience. And so Thursday night was, you know, cook your own thing, you know. And then in Melbourne, the whole idea, like I'm trying to write something now about all this fancy deconstructed food, like deconstructed hamburger just looks like someone dropped it on the floor. And then a deconstructed, because they love smashed avocado, smashed avocado is just someone giving you an avocado and a hammer and saying, do it yourself. So you're always thinking of something. What can I do with this? And what can I say about that? So a lot, my stories come from everyday life. I have stories of going on holidays. I have stories about the dog. I will have stories about the cat, definitely. Yeah. A little nightmare. Her name is Karen, the cat. And I host a lot of shows. So I get stories from the audience and I play with them and have banter with them. And so my mind goes really quick when I'm on stage. So I react to certain things and it's a bit of both. I write on the spot and then I try and sit down and write a story, but that I get bored.
Yeah, and then probably also you're impatient or like you get distracted and it's like, no, I actually want to do something else now.
Yeah, like go out and buy candles today when I should be doing something else later on. But that's, you know, it's fine. Candle, we need candles. The place absolutely stinks of cat piss.
You definitely need it. Yeah, maybe some incense, maybe some fancy
I'm going to get the little sticks that burn. And those little sticks that go in some sort of liquid in a bottle. I don't know what that shit is, but they're all over the place. But yeah.
Do you think like there is a reason why a lot of English speaking comedians or English speaking people, or probably all around the world, use the German accent to make a lot of jokes? What's so funny about it? What do you think?
It's a weird thing at the minute where you can't do many accents. You're not allowed to do many accents, whereas years ago, when I started, there was famous comedians doing accents. And I think some people go, you know, the German accent isn't going to offend anyone. And it's also, it's a funny accent as well. I don't do it. I just did a show where I did a whole song about Gérard Depardieu, the French actor. He, speaking of cat piss, he pissed himself on a plane in Dublin years ago. So the song is called What Would Gérard Depardieu Do? And I do it in a very cartoon, like, I'm Gérard Depardieu, what can you do? And it's funny because you're it's a fake accent. It's not offensive and it's silly. And I think some people, when they do the German accent, they do that kind of silly. I'm trying to think of someone that has that accent. Because there's a TV show called Storage Wars or something in America. And there's a German guy. I think the German kid in The Simpsons. I don't know what part of Germany he's from. But, or then even German porn accents. That's funny if you pull them out, you know. I shouldn't say that word. But yeah, there's that. So there's, but then people do my accent. People do Scottish accents. But they try and stay away from, you know, like Asian accents and African accents and whatever. It's a fine line, but I think people feel safe doing a silly French or a German accent. It's a good accent.
Yeah, you have to say that now.
I didn't say it was a bad accent. I never said it was a bad accent. I just can't do it unless it just sounds weird.
Yeah, honestly, even I can't properly do it. My accent is the way it is. But if someone says like, oh, can you do it like properly, the German accent? I'm like, either it sounds like what I just do, or I can't do it.
Yeah,
I'm not an accent person. Yeah,
yeah, you're doing your accent now. I'm not, I can barely do accents. And I'm afraid to do some accents because sometimes they come out as a minority accent, you know, so I just avoid it. But doing the French accent has been fun. I don't think any French people were in the crowd. They probably were and just didn't say anything. But I think it's just a more cartoony accent is funny. Yeah, yeah. And there's parts of Germany, it's parts of Ireland, it's parts of France and stuff like that. Like Liverpool, parts of England, like Scouse and Cockney, you know. You're not the only one. There's other people get picked on too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I remember I went to a comedy open mic in Cambridge and there were like 4 or 5 people and one of them picked me, of course, and then picked up on my accent and then tried to use that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he was really good, but he tried his best. So you kind of have to give him a little credit.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Obviously, with histories of countries, there's you don't want to go on about it, but like I was talking to this couple in Hamilton. I was on stage and he was German, he still is, I assume. I don't think he's dead. And she was Kiwi And I was fascinated. And I'm fascinated about people's stories. And I said, how did you meet? And they said, we were on a campsite and we were in a car park. And she went up and asked them for gas. And I laughed and I didn't want to do it. But I said, look, I have to say it. You went up and asked the German for gas. Do you know what I mean? And then that got the laugh. And then I didn't push it because you don't want to push it too much. And then it's the sort of things like that where it gets a laugh. But you're not looking for that angle either. Don't want to remind people of horrible things. But like another gig, and it was a German girl in the front row. And I asked her name and she said, I think Laura or something. And I don't know what way my face went, but she goes, I'm sorry. She apologized. And I just said, oh, it's okay. You've apologized enough. And then that got a laugh and then you move away. So there's weird, it's there's weird things when you're talking to crowds. You don't want to remind them of, you know, horrible stuff. But sometimes the jokes are there and you got to take them. And then, but yeah, the accents, yeah, I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, fair enough. Like you kind of need to, sometimes some people just give such a good base to a good joke, right? Even if it's a bit like below.
Yeah.
Even if it's not quite appropriate, but that's, everyone goes to a comedy show knowing it's a joke, right? So
yeah.
I think everyone needs to be a little bit more open to not take it too seriously.
And they are. And it's, you do see that a lot because something off the cuff, something really quick gets an instant laugh because they're not expecting it. And the accent thing as well, weirdly enough, I hosted a St. Patrick's Day event in Tauranga on St. Patrick's Day. And I got there the night before because there was a group in Papamoa asked me to do an Irish gig there. So I got there and they were lovely. And the host, someone came out and said that the host, I don't know if he, I think he was American, I'm not sure. And the other comedian said, listen, he's been doing an Irish accent the whole night. I'm just going to warn you. And I went, oh, fucking hell. And I can't remember if it was a good accent or not, but he insisted on doing it the whole time. And he insisted on playing this character that was like, it was quite offensive. But you know, you have to go along with it. You don't want to, you can't look like, you can't dish it out. You can't say stuff to other people and then get upset if they make fun of you. So, but I did, I think I ripped the shit out of them. I think I slapped them off. But once the audience are on board, otherwise you're just an angry man. But yeah, it's like you have to be really careful nowadays with what you say. But I still think, you know, if you say something that catches people off guard, or maybe that they're already thinking, it's in their head, you know, and then they laugh more, and then that's it. It's a weird job. Yeah. It's hard to explain until I'm actually on stage doing it. And then I go, where did that even come from?
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think like the topic of migrating or like living an expat life, living overseas, is already a topic in itself that you can use for jokes as well? Or is it usually not your area you pick on?
No, I did a gig on Maori TV years ago. It's on YouTube. It's on my YouTube somewhere. And I did the whole thing comparing Ireland to New Zealand and the whole idea of being a migrant here. And I use it a lot because I do a lot of Irish shows and Irish and Scottish shows and stuff. And this is weird. So I don't know where there's a shop Reduced to Clear in Henderson. Yeah. And randomly they had, so you live here so long, and I'm sure you're the same, there's certain foods you miss from home, right? So for me, it's Chinese chicken balls and curry sauce. And I've learned how to make that here so I can have it when I want. It's Italian fish and chips is what we had in Ireland. I'd make that as well. I love it. But cheese and onion crisps, I love and I miss, because you can't really get them here. There is one brand that does red onion and cheddar cheese, but they nearly break your teeth while you're eating them. And then randomly we found, because there's the Irish crisps, Tato, they're amazing. And reduced to clear, had them randomly. So they got them cheap because they're slightly out of date. And the expat community, everyone's talking about it. And it's fun that we're all, like, I bought 15 bags yesterday and I bought 12 bags over the weekend. And I might go back tomorrow and because I've told too many people and I think they're going to go in and buy them all. So the migrant thing is important. I do jokes. My daughter being Kiwi and Irish and comparing the growing up here to growing up in Ireland, like the whole idea that, you know, you don't have to wear shoes here. You know, it's all of that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it does feature a lot. And it's you can't avoid it. I got made a citizen and that was...
Congratulations.
Thanks very much. It's ages ago. And I have I've stories about that where everyone had to sing the national anthem, the New Zealand national anthem. And no one really knew it, not even the Kiwis. So what they did was they put the national anthem up on the screen with the words. So it just turned into karaoke, you know, just a load of people singing karaoke. So yeah, it's there's always angles there. And because I always get expats in the crowd or I get internationals, migrants here, it's very easy to get lost in stories with them about where they're from and have fun.
Yeah.
So yeah. It does. I don't mean it to feature heavily. It just does.
Yeah. It comes naturally.
Yeah. Happens.
And you also have done some comedy in Ireland before. So
yeah.
When you do shows in Ireland and when you do shows in New Zealand, what are the differences? Is the audience very different? Like, are there certain jokes that don't go well in Ireland but in New Zealand and other way around? And do you have to adjust your jokes to the country? I mean, obviously, certain things that are really common or well-known in Ireland, you can use there. But is there any, like, difference in humor in terms of, like Germans are just not funny? So when you go, you feel like you need to, you know, put extra stuff on top, or the New Zealand people don't laugh about certain things. Like, is there anything
there's a lot of that everywhere, and not just nationalities. It could be different towns, even, you know, different parts of Auckland. The audiences could be so different, you know? And yeah, obviously using nostalgic stuff in Ireland works there, wouldn't really work here, but that's to the Kiwi audience. But and Kiwi audiences they're not all of them, but they're usually quite reserved and they're folded arms and they, you know, you kind of have to tell them to open their legs and get ready to laugh and stuff. But internationals, expats, Irish, British, loads of nationalities, they laugh more. So when they laugh, laughter is infectious. And then everyone sort of gets involved, and it depends on who is there, but there's jokes that are too niche that wouldn't really work here. But if you have, what I like doing is, so there's a thing in Ireland where when you're a child and you're being naughty and your mother doesn't want to hit you, she'll point at a random man and say, "Stop messing or that man will get you." And every man knew their job is like, "Oh, yeah, fucking stop messing," right? And every man knew it. And then you go, "Shit, that is the right," terrified. And then all of a sudden you grow up and you're in the supermarket and the mother points at you and goes, "Stop your messing or the man will get you." And you're like, "Oh my God, I am now the man," you know? And then you're like, "Stop your messing, you little prick." And it's that. So that works more. You got it, so that's fine. But sometimes an audience wouldn't understand. So I remember somewhere, Blenheim, I think it was, and I did it, and you could hear exactly where the Irish people were in the crowd, whereas other people just went, "I don't get it. What is it?" So yeah, there's that. But I speak so much, I say so much shit that I move on to something quick. So yeah, it's I'll find something for everybody.
Yeah. So if they didn't get this one, hopefully the next one.
They'll get the next one. I'll keep at them. I'll keep at them until I get them laughing. I will find someone in the crowd that's not having a good time, and I will make sure they laugh.
Yeah. Do you see yourself staying in that area, like staying a comedian and seeing this as your purpose to make people laugh?
Yeah, I do. I don't want to travel as much. I traveled a lot over the past couple of years. So, but yeah, I might change my mind because I have like 2 or 3 weeks off ish, you know. I like doing what I do. I like doing that job with the comedy and the quizzes, and the podcast is fun. And it'd be nice to make money from podcasting so you don't have to leave the house as much, you know, except to get candles and incense sticks to get rid of the cat piss. But I think I'll always be in this kind of role, but depending on how life goes or where I end up, whether it's still on stage or it's owning a pub or whatever, it just haven't. But either way, there'll be, that will always be there.
Yeah. What do you think is the most Irish about you, and what's the most Kiwi now about you?
Irish, probably my skin.
Burns quickly.
My burnt skin. I'm probably getting burnt now with the lights. And then my ginger beard. My sense of humour is pretty Irish. Yeah, that's probably it, yeah. My sense of humour, my skin, and my beard. Mm-hmm. Kiwi, I'm not really sure. I don't like pineapple lumps, so that's not that.
No, I can't get onto that either. I don't even want to bring it back home as a gift because I think it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not for me. I'm trying to think. There has to be something, but I just can't think of what it is.
Because clearly you didn't pick up the accent, right?
No, I have a routine about that. Like I did raise the end of a sentence once.
My mate
was like, what happened? I goes, oh, fuck, I don't know. And but yeah, it's a hard accent to lose, but I am around so many expats. And anyway, so when I was in the city, I'd be in Father Ted's pub a lot. And so you're around a lot of Irish and British and internationals. So it's a hard accent to lose, you know. I've slowed down. Yeah, I have slowed down a bit, I think. Yeah. But yeah, I'm trying to think. There has to be something Kiwi. I wear flip-flops. I wear shorts. I have stupid hair. There has to be something.
No Kiwi. You did not pick it up at all.
No, I refuse to say the words. I refuse to call flip-flops anything other than flip-flops. And that's both in New Zealand and Australia. I suppose I've started saying the word uni instead of university. And the first time I heard someone say they went to uni, I'm like, oh, that sounds horrible. But I'm like, we're doing a gig in a uni. So yeah, there's a couple of bits like that. But I'm very Irish.
Yeah. So you are not really saying sweet as?
Never. Finish Never. The sentence. Sweet as what? Sweet as candy? Sweet as sugar? Don't just leave me hanging. Sweet as, hot as. Hot as what? Fuck's sake. Like,
yes, I agree. I understand. I also was like, this is not how I've been taught with English. When there is an S, there needs to be something else after that.
Complete assimilate. Yeah. Sweet as something, you know. So it's, there's that. I'm trying to think. I think I did say something very Kiwi once and I got a weird look off my mate. I just can't remember what it was, but sunborn, that's the most Kiwi thing about me, because there's no ozone layer because of the French. Maybe that's it.
Right, that's good enough. And especially raising the voice at the end, even though it's no question, is pretty Kiwi.
I was just going to go down the shop.
Yeah, and it's like, why did I do that? Sometimes I realize it too when I talk, and I'm like, that's weird.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think of other stuff, but yeah, that's pretty much it. I learned how to drive here. That's probably most Kiwi. Yeah, I
never drove in oil. So you learned it by sitting on someone's lap or going on a like farm and driving around illegally? Because that sounds pretty Kiwi as well, right?
I don't know where you're going with sitting on someone's lap. The driving instructor, he didn't want that. I tried, but he didn't like it. And, no, I just learned because I moved here and we lived in Hamilton, and which is fine.
But, I still live here.
Oh, you still live there? Whereabouts in Hamilton?
At the moment, Chartwell, where yesterday someone got shot. So
that's where we lived in McInnes something, and I used to go to the Westfield every day. And it was so boring. And so, yeah, I had to learn how to drive quick to be able to go to and from Auckland. Yeah. But, yeah, someone got shot in Chartwell. That's mad. By the Westfield.
Well, it's at that, or near that mall, yeah. It's just sad that everyone is just like, oh, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I've been there a few times. It's it can look a bit rough.
Yeah, and it's not even, yeah, it has some patches, but anyway, moving on. I know Hamilton has quite a interesting reputation, and it's definitely used for some jokes, I know.
Yeah, it's an easy joke, you know. My stuff about Hamilton is because I did live there, you know. Yeah. And I went from Dublin being really busy and exciting to Chartwell. And I used to tell the story of every day we'd walk to the Westfield and there was a little dead baby bird on the pavement. And every day we'd walk by, the ants were taking different parts of the bird away, taking its wing and its beak and da-da-da. And in the end, there was nothing left. And I just said, and that's Hamilton for me. I don't know what it means. I don't know why it was funny, but it was just, I was getting bored being there. But I love gigging there. I've run gigs in the Foundation Bar, in the Cook. I'm going to be doing Sky City in a couple of months. So,
nice.
Yeah, yeah. I love going there. It's fun, and the nightlife is insane. Like there's so many people out. Well, we did a gig recently, and yeah, it's just full of mad people.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, and that's why other people stay away from that.
Yeah.
Or go to Auckland.
I'll go to Auckland. Yeah. The stories I can't tell, but the stuff I've seen in Hamilton, and it's just insane.
Yeah. So for me, I love it here, but because I like it quiet during the week, and then I like to go somewhere else during the weekend. So, but also I know it can get quite boring for a lot of people, but I think New Zealand in general is, for internationals, quite challenging because it's just so different than other countries, and it's so isolated that it's just hard to really find that big city life or like really a lot of entertainment, I guess.
Yeah, it's, you know, places close at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and like we were driving around the country and we went into a bar for lunch at about 3 o'clock and they were closed. You know, so there is that, and especially after being in Spain a few weeks ago, where you're out, you're having dinner at 10 o'clock, you know, and then you're out until 3-4 o'clock, and there's families, you know, there's kids. It's just a different way of life, and that's the challenge. But, and maybe that's why we're moving to Spain in a couple of years. But yeah, it is different. But, you know, I had to relax. Some people come here because their life is too hectic. You know, because they were getting into trouble and stuff like that. So, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, same. All right. So before I let you go again, I usually ask 3 quick questions in the end with just like a quick answer. And then you are allowed to leave.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. So question number 1, what do you miss the most when you are over here from Ireland?
Again, probably like some of the bars, but then I'm getting older, so not so much the chicken balls and curry sauce, the takeaway food. I miss a lot. You know, some of my family as well. You know,
one or two,
but yeah, there's that, and then just the different the lifestyle. Yeah, just that, just the madness and the like Dublin is pretty hectic. So I do miss that. I find it hard to relax.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. Question number two.
Yeah.
If someone is thinking to move overseas, who is a creative and is just in the process or in general, what would you recommend or advise someone who is wanting to go overseas, move overseas to another country?
Move here or away from here?
Just wherever. Whoever wants to leave a country to move to another country, since you have done it yourself.
Yeah, it's difficult. You just have to get straight into a scene, whatever your scene is. If it's writing, if it's comedy, if it's photography, film. And there's so many, everywhere has groups, you know, that have the same hobbies and interests as you. So you just find the group and just get straight into it. Like, to do comedy here, I have to go straight to the comedy club, straight to open mics, and just like completely submerge yourself in it. So you're around these other people that are into what you're into. Otherwise, you won't be involved, and you probably have to get a job that you don't like, you know, that sort of way. So yeah, just get straight into it.
Yeah, good advice. Yeah, very good.
Thank you.
And it helps. Yeah,
proud of that.
You may. Well done. A+.
Thank you.
Okay, last question. Is there anyone you can think of who you think should be on this show and share their migration travel story with me?
God, there's loads. All I know is migrants. yeah. What type are you looking for?
Whoever wants to share their story. And if there's one or two that are funny, I don't mind that too.
Yeah, hang on. I can't think of people right now, but there's loads of comedians.
You can give me a list later.
I'll give you a list. Yeah, I'll give you a list.
Cool. All right. Thank you so much, Ellen.
Thanks for having me. Absolute pleasure. Cheers.
And thanks for your time. And I hope everyone enjoyed this as well. And I see you next time. Bye.
See you next time.
3FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.